Hello, everyone. I am Meritess Bott here for another one of our blogs, our monthly blog. Wanted to, or podcast, I guess, whatever you want to call it. I wanted to talk today about three probate horror stories that have happened or happening in my office right now. I think it's really good to learn about things that have gone wrong in real life in order to do the best for your family and do it right and plan ahead and do the right thing. So without further ado, I'm going to talk about three different things. One is going to be called the estranged mom on Medicaid. Number two is an unmarried aunt that has lots of relatives outside of the country. And number three is an almost ex-wife who ends up getting a share of the estate despite being an almost ex-wife. Okay, so number one is the estranged mom on Medicaid. We were contacted by a client whose mother is in a nursing home. She is on Medicaid. Client is estranged from his mom. They haven't talked in years and don't really plan on talking to her. Unfortunately, he gets the phone call that mom's brother died. Mom's brother, obviously his uncle, did not have a will, did not have any documents, anything. No children, no surviving spouse. So essentially, it would go based on intestate. Intestate says it goes to your siblings in equal shares. So mom is the only sibling. So technically, she's the only person who gets this money. So what did uncle die with? Well, he died with a house worth $300,000. And some cash worth another $300,000. We're talking $600,000. A lot of money. So my client really doesn't want to talk to his mom, and his mom is really incapacitated. She's on Medicaid. She's in nursing home. We don't really know much about her financial life or who's taking care of those things. But unfortunately, we have to open the estate for uncle. And now my client is the administrator, and we have to figure out a way to get these assets to the mom, but then hope that she could still stay on Medicaid. That's a tall order. And we haven't, you know, there really is no magic way of doing it. So we're still working through that. My point of sharing this story is because if you have any family members that are single, no children, that have assets, encourage them to do an estate plan. Encourage them to say within a document, whether it's a will or a trust, I want my assets to go here. Whether it's to individuals or whether it's going to charities, I'd rather give to the people that mean something to you versus just the natural way, which is to your siblings who happen to be alive. But he probably didn't even know that his sister was in a nursing home on Medicaid. So have something written down. Otherwise, now you're causing a lot of stress and drama and heartache to your nephew who just wanted to do the right thing. But then now there's going to be some issues and we have to resolve them. So that is a big challenge, and that's number one. Number two is another woman who is unmarried, no children. In her situation, she did prepare a will that said she wanted to benefit a couple nieces, nephews that were obviously on that are part of her family. Now, the challenge with this particular estate plan is when you have a will by itself, and you have at least $100,000 of assets, we still have to open what is called a probate estate. The probate estate is now something public, and we file the will, and then we have to file this petition to open the probate. Part of this filing of the petition is filing what is called an affidavit of heirship. We have to tell the judge who was this woman naturally related to. Well, the people who actually are, you know, my clients is one of the sisters. Okay, so sister of the decedent. They have 9 brothers and sisters, and they're all over the place. So several of them are in the Philippines, and they've lost touch with them, and they don't even know where they live and how many kids there are and whether there's even anybody alive that would be related to this decedent. And because of that, we have to write it in the affidavit. These are all the people we know of. These are the people we don't know of. We would always just put address unknown or whereabouts unknown. Or if we do know where they are, we have to send notice formally in order for the estate to be opened. So even though this woman did create a will, which is good, it was not a good thing to just have a will by itself, because now we had to send notice and we have to make sure these people know about this estate. And we also have to publish in a newspaper. So in case somebody's coming out of the woodwork and trying to qualify or try to exert themselves as one of the beneficiaries of this estate, we also have to, you know, watch out for that as well. So again, another person that is single, no kids, creating a will is great as a beginning stage, but really your best bet is creating a trust so we don't have to open the probate estate and have to notify all these random people in another country, and we have to find out their address or even figure out sometimes, do a little bit of digging where they live. So that's number two. Number three is another estate. This one actually started maybe a year and a half ago. Daughter calls me saying her dad died. Her dad was already on a second marriage or maybe third marriage, and he tells me that they are pretty much almost done being divorced. They had gone through the divorce proceedings. They were like getting ready to close it and finalize it. And he died. So the daughter tells me the very first meeting I have with her, she said, "Oh, I'm in touch with the soon-to-be ex-wife." And she's very, what is the word, amicable, and says, "Oh yeah, I'll go to you because you're the daughter, and you know that's what happened. You know, I know that we're getting divorced." Well, lo and behold, we find out all the assets, where they're held, who's in on title, and basically what happened is the beneficiaries were never changed. So on some retirement accounts and life insurance, this wife was still on there as a beneficiary. And in the state of Illinois, whoever is a beneficiary is going to receive the funds regardless of whether there's a divorce pending, or even if the divorce was final, the funds would still go to this soon-to-be ex-wife, not to the daughter. The total of these assets was about, and I want to say between $200,000 and $300,000, which is a lot. So daughter was upset that, you know, she couldn't do anything about it. We open the probate estate. We find out that there's a house, but highly mortgaged, and the actual equity is not even enough. So might be upside down. Now we got to figure out how to sell it via short sale. And the worst part about this scenario is my client, the daughter, has been having challenges with this second spouse, third spouse of her dad, where they're trying to get some personal items, get it out of the house, trying to, you know, make sure that that's properly inventoried and then also sold so that there is some money to use for final expenses and even keeping the house going, because certainly there's a lot of carrying costs when it comes to a house. So the moral of the story is, when you're going through a divorce, I know this is going to be a hard one, definitely finalize it sooner rather than later. Because if you unexpectedly die within that divorce proceeding, you might have unexpected consequences as to where that money goes. I'm sure that the father, the decedent, wanted that money to really go to his daughter, not to his ex-wife. Okay. So that's lesson number one. But then the lesson number two is just having an estate plan. Again, had the dad just created something that said, well, everything I own just go to my daughter at this point, and then make sure that the wife, the name wasn't on as a beneficiary. And if he had done a trust that named the trust as the beneficiary and everything went to his daughter and his grandchildren, really, then it would have been no probate, private, would have not had to deal with this wife, and it would have gone to the people that the father would have wanted it to go to. So again, another big lesson learned that obviously with all three situations, they've already died. There's nothing we could do about it. We are just doing what we can to administer the estate. But in the long run, I tell families all the time, these are the stories that you need to learn from, not doing, doing nothing is certainly the worst option. Doing an incomplete estate plan is okay, but typically not a good option. The best option is to do an estate plan that is complete so that we can avoid probate, but then make sure all of your instructions are laid out and given to your family so they can follow them to a T. That is it. Hopefully that was something that you can learn from. If you have any questions on this topic, you certainly can call us here at Botten Associates. We hope you have a great day. Thanks.